The rest of you, if you will, open up your Bibles to, again, to Mark chapter 9. Mark 9. One of the shows that I like to watch on television, if a ball game is not on in the evening, typically I'm going to switch channels over to the National Geographic channel. I like to watch those animal shows where those crazy people chase snakes. And as I was telling this morning, you know, they can chase them all they want to, just don't bring them into church. When looking for a preacher who handles snakes, get your pulpit committee ready, because this one don't handle snakes. I handle them with a hoe, not with a hand. But there's lots of interesting shows on there. One of those shows was telling the story of the African impala. The African impala can jump, been known to jump nearly 9 feet in the air. That's amazing, because this animal itself is only about 3.5 feet high. I mean, it's like a deer jumping higher than I can reach. But when you think about it, that African impala, though it can jump 9 feet in the air, it can be contained in any zoo in America with a 4-foot wall. Because 4-foot wall, one thing about the impala will never jump unless it can first see where its feet are going to land. The impala never operates on faith. It has to see before it will jump. You know, while that may often work for the impala, and sometimes it works for people, it is a sure recipe for spiritual failure. There's going to be times in life that we have to operate not on what we can see, but on what we know. We're going to have to live, the scripture says, by faith. Hebrews 10:38 tells us, the righteous shall live by faith. You go down a few verses to Hebrews chapter 11, 1 and 2, it tells us that it tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence or conviction of things not seen. And then you go down just a few more verses to Hebrews 11, 6, and it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That means if we become like that impala and we've got to see how everything's going to work out before we're willing to take a risk, we will find spiritual failure over and over again in our life, because righteous people don't live like that. Righteous people live by faith. You know, the lack of faith is a sure recipe for spiritual failure. We have to learn to operate in a way where it's not about what we see, but about what we know. And God delights in the increase of a believer's faith, of his children's faith. Sometimes that faith is increased through trials, through difficulties, through problems. That becomes the food, the very food of faith. On the other hand, Satan himself delights in those moments when we don't believe God, when we don't trust God, we have to do things ourselves. You know, the power for the people of God comes when they choose to live by faith. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. What does he want to kill, steal, and destroy? Your faith. You see, if he can't have your soul, he don't want you doing any good for God, so he wants to destroy your faith. So very much today, your faith is a topic of conversation that God wants to see you grow. The devil wants to see you lose. And I'm going to tell you this, faith in all of our lives is either increasing or decreasing. If you're not growing in your faith, you're losing ground to the devil. Because we don't tread water very long spiritually. Like if you tried to tread water, you went to the pool and tread water. You can do it for a while, but eventually you're going to go down. And that's the way it is in our faith. We need to be growing in our faith. Scripture tells us over and over again to grow in our faith. There's a battle that rages in our hearts, though. The battle between faith and disbelief, between faith and doubt. That's why the James talks about a double-minded man being unstable in all of his ways, because he's living in doubt. This morning, I want to tell you, there's some dangers involved in unbelief. When you go through Scripture and you can look at people who don't trust God, even those who walked with God who don't trust God, usually there's penalties to be paid. There's prices, there's struggles that they're going to come under. Let me tell you a few of those. Unbelief can cause you to miss God's blessings. God desires to bless your life. That's scripturally true from beginning to end. You look at how God wants to work in your life so that you have a blessed life, so to speak. Well, in Numbers chapter 20, verse 12, it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow them in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I've given them. God told Moses, because you fail to walk in faith, you fail to do what I ask you to do, there's a penalty to be paid for that. You're not gonna enjoy the blessings of the promised land. That's harsh. But God expects His children to walk in faith. Secondly, unbelief can spread discouragement among God's people. Hebrews 13:31. You remember the story of the spies. They sent them out, and they sent 12 spies out. 10 come back saying, or 2 came back saying, Joshua came, we can do it. God's given us this land. Let's take it. But 10 came back and said, no, these guys are huge. We're like grasshoppers. We can't do it. And you know, they said, we can't go against them. They're stronger than we are. And so it says, they spread discouraging reports about the land among the Israelites. What happened was, they doubted God. They disbelieved God. They didn't walk in faith. Instead, they chose to walk in unbelief. And as a result, the people had to wander for years before they were able to get to the Holy Land, the Promised Land. Unbelief can spread discouragement among God's people. Thirdly, unbelief weakens your defense against the enemy. In Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us to put on the shield of faith so that we'll be able to withstand the darts that come against that the enemy fires against us. Life's going to throw some problems. Satan's going to throw some problems at you. If you don't walk in faith, those things are going to drain you. They're going to zap your strength, your energy, your passion for Christ. Finally, when faith is squashed, there is no peace. When we walk in unbelief rather than walking in faith, we're not going to have peace in our lives. Remember the story, Jesus was in the boat, they were on the sea, and a storm blew up, and the disciples were all afraid, and so they come running into where Jesus was sleeping. They said, teacher, don't you even care that we're going to drown? We're about to go under. And it says he woke up, he rebuked the wind and the water, he told it to quiet down. Suddenly the wind stopped and there was great calm. And then he turned to those disciples and said this, why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith in me? You see, faith brings peace. A lack of faith brings fear in our life. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Scripture says, make your requests known to God. Unbelief versus faith. We all are going to choose which one we're going to walk in. Every day we get out of bed, we're going to walk in one trail or the other. And the battle with Satan is an ongoing battle. I'm sure there's days when you feel like, man, you're headed the right direction. The wind's at your back. You're walking downhill. Life is good. Your faith is strong. But I'm sure there's also other days when you feel like you're walking uphill. The problems of life seem overwhelming. The wind's in your face and you're struggling spiritually. Such is the case for the man in Mark chapter 9. You see, this man had a son who was possessed, it says, with an evil spirit. Like any good parent, when your children are struggling, you're struggling. When they hurt, you hurt. Well, it said in this man's case, this boy had been battling this problem since childhood. I'm sure, and like any good parent, he was doing everything he could to take that kid to the doctors of their day. I don't know what they did in those days. Maybe they stuck his head between rocks for a CT scan, or maybe they drained a little blood out of his head. I don't know. You know, whatever they did to try to fix him, they tried to fix him, and it didn't work. Medicinally, they couldn't figure it out. He still had problems. So then when taking him to the doctor didn't work, I'm sure this good dad probably, it says here, he took him to the disciples, took him to church. Hey, I want you to pray for my son. This demon, this spirit needs to come out. And guess what? They prayed. And nothing happened. So they're telling this story to Jesus. In desperation, he comes seeking help. When all other options failed, he turns to Jesus. You can almost see Jesus' frustration. Look what he said. He answered them and said, oh, unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Who's he agitated with? Is he agitated with the whole situation? Is he agitated with the disciples? I think he's agitated with the disciples. Why is he agitated with them for being unable to cast out a demon? You go, you look, and what you see is evidently a lack of faith on the part of disciples was keeping them from doing what they had been empowered to do. You know, a lack of faith in your life will keep you from being able to carry out the purposes for which God created you. Their lack of faith in him was keeping them from doing something that in it says in chapter 6, verse 7 and 13, he'd given them the authority to cast out demons. But the ministry to the boy was ineffective. When we don't operate by faith, the ministries in our lives are going to be ineffective. Faith has got to be cultivated. It's got to be grown through discipline and devotion. It seems from the story what was happening in the life of these apostles, they were likely neglecting prayer. Look at verses 28 and 29. After all this had happened and they couldn't figure out why they weren't able to cast out the demons, they got Jesus aside and they said, hey, why couldn't we do that? And he said, this kind of thing only comes out but by prayer. Likely they had been neglecting prayer in their life. Jesus was pointing it out. Hey, your faith is not going to be strong enough to do what you need to do and what I've empowered you to do if you're not going to spend time praying. Since the disciples had failed, the desperate father wasn't even sure about whether Jesus could do it or not. Look at verse 22. He says to Jesus, I like these words. There's a lot of humanity in these words. If you can do anything. You know, you can tell there was a little bit of discouragement. Man, he tried the doctors. He tried the church. He prayed for him. He'd sought everything he knew how to do. So he comes to Jesus and he says, if you can do anything. But I like Jesus' response better. If. You know, then he lays out all the missing puzzle pieces. All things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who believes. Jesus was telling that guy, listen, open your eyes. You're missing it. You believe in me, you put your faith in me, you're going to see some amazing things. You know what? I think that's true for us today as well. I think sometimes we get so blinded by life, and sometimes our discouragements, that we forget all things are possible with God. That's an easy thing to say. It's a harder thing to believe. But he goes on here. The father in this story was honest enough to admit his own unbelief. When Jesus asked him to believe, he said, I do believe. But get this, help my unbelief. I think most of us struggle exactly where that man was, believing God fully. He gives us promises. But how many times when the struggle hits do we forget that he's given us promises? And we try to handle it ourselves, and we grow discouraged. And we feel weak in our faith. We believe God's promises may not be good enough. Now, we'll never say that. But we worry. We doubt. You know what we're doing? We're trying to put a real good spiritual spin on it by saying, oh yeah, I believe in God. But we're not living like we believe in God. And this man knew it. He said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me fully trust you. I think that's where most of us are. Lord, help us fully trust you. When we exercise our faith, it grows stronger. When we neglect our faith, it grows weaker. And a lot of times the trials and troubles that we encounter in our life are dumbbells for the soul. They build us, or if we don't use them, they break us. Jesus looked at this man who asked him, if you can, and in turn, Jesus looked at him and said, can you do something? Well, what, Lord, what can I do? And he said, believe. If you can believe, like the apostles said to the Lord in Luke chapter 17, verse 5, increase our faith. This man here was saying his request was genuine. Lord, give me the faith necessary to see radical change. My son needs to be healed. Lord, give me the kind of faith to believe that that can happen. You know, I think we need that kind of faith in our world today. I think that we need that kind of faith as Christians in our life today. That kind of revolutionary faith. That kind of faith that goes deeper than believing in the existence of the God of God, but believing and trusting Him every day. Let me give you some definitions of revolutionary faith. Number one, faith is believing the Lord's word will be fulfilled and surrendering for Him to do it in your life. It's when God tells us He wants something from us and we say, Lord, we want it too. Let me give you an example of that. Let's go to Mary, Luke chapter 1, verse 38. When Mary was told she would give birth to the Lord, she said, Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. God, if you said it and you want it, I want it as well. God's word is never wrong. God's word never goes out of date. If the word says something's going to occur, start making plans because it's going to happen. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in God's word this morning? Do you call out God's word when you're going through a struggle? Do you memorize God's word to tell you in those moments when you're fearful to not be afraid? When you're struggling, do you have that, the Lord is my refuge and my strength, the very present help in time of need? Are there promises there that you can fall back on and trust? You see, one of the things that changes your life, that changes our faith, is believing that God's word is going to be fulfilled and then saying, Lord, may it be that way. May I walk in it. May I trust it. Just like Mary did. Secondly, faith is being persuaded that God has the power to do what He promised. You know, sometimes when we get in a difficult situation, we begin to wonder, man, I don't know if we're going to come through this. Romans 4:20, Abraham says, with respect to what God had promised, he did not waver, but he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully assured that what God had promised would occur. You know, if God says it, believe it. Abraham had his doubts. There's no doubt about that. He took things into his own hand. But you know what? He looked for that day when God's promise would be fulfilled. Do you believe God answers prayer this morning? Do you believe He answers prayer? That's a big question. How much do you believe He answers prayer? Let me tell you something. If you don't pray, you don't believe God answers prayer. Why would a person pray unless they were expecting an answer? God answers the prayers of His people. It's what His word says. And if He says it, you can take it to the bank. So if you want to hear from God, go before Him. Spend time in prayer. Because on the other side of that, if we're not spending time in prayer, do we really believe that God answers? Thirdly, faith is believing that it will happen just as He told us. In Acts 27, verses 23 through 25, Paul is on his way to Rome. They're in a bad storm on the sea. It seemed like he was always in bad storms on the sea. But he was in a bad storm on the sea. All the crew was afraid. They came to him and he tells them, he said, an angel stood before me and told me that I must stand before Caesar, and God has granted you all that those are sailing with you. And I believe, God, that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. Faith is believing God never misses and trusting in it. You know, God gives promises. God knows the end from the beginning. Scripture is full of those promises. He promises us forgiveness of sins. Yet so many people live in regret and guilt over something they've done in the past. Got to let it go. Some people, He promises to give us His Spirit. He promises that we can boldly approach Him in Christ. We don't have to go through an intermediary. We don't have to go through a priest. But God promises us that we can go to Him one-on-one. He promises us that He's good and merciful. He promises us that He cares about you. He promises that He's faithful all the time. And I'm going to tell you something. If God breaks one of those promises, He's not God. He's not trustworthy. If God ever breaks one promise, He's not no longer deserving of our worship. Because He will never break His promise. You can bank on those promises. If He ever breaks one, He becomes a liar. Our faith grows when we choose to apply God's promises to today's problems. Get that, wrap it up, remember it because it's key. Our faith grows when we choose to apply God's promises to today's problems. I'm going to give you three quick things to do to claim those promises. Number one, read them. You're never going to know what you've been given until you read God's Word and read His promises. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. God's Word will change the way you think. Because I'm going to tell you something. Faith isn't always about common sense. If faith was about... Sometimes faith is trusting God when you look around and it doesn't make sense. Why would God have led the Israelite people into a trap? He told them to go to a certain place. Well, desert on both sides, Red Sea on the other side. How are they going to make a way out? How are they going to get out? They were in the center of God's will, walking by faith, and that's where they ended up. Faith, you can't just always say, you know, in a Baptist church, what we would have done? We'd have formed a committee and tried to figure out how to build a boat to get across the Red Sea. But God says, I'm going to open that sea, and that doesn't make sense. You're going to walk by faith right through the middle of it. Faith isn't always about common sense. It's about trust. The Bible tells us to have a childlike faith. Adults analyze things. Children take things at face value. Jesus told His disciples, if you have faith of a mustard seed, they could look at a mountain, tell it to cast itself into a sea. That doesn't make sense. Analyze that any way you want to, and it doesn't make sense. Faith is trusting God, period, whether it makes common sense or not. Get into the Word, claim God's promises. Secondly, after you read those promises, rely on those promises. Act on the Word of God. That's where the rubber meets the road, because I'm going to tell you something. This is what we've got to understand. The devil believes in God. Somebody, you know, they take these polls all the time. 80% of Americans believe in God. You know, I think, big deal. That doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. Because the devil believes in God. There's a far cry from believing in the existence of God and if 80% of Americans believed in God, we would not be in the mess that we're in these days. Amen. Period. Now, if 80% of Americans rely on God, this will change. We've got to read God's promises. We've got to rely on God's promises. You've got to do that in your life. You can know what God said, but if you don't apply them to your life, you get nothing. And finally, relay God's promises to others. You know, the faith of other people can affect the lives of someone else. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus was teaching in a house. Must have been a popular sermon because it was full. And the Bible tells a story about a guy who had a cripple friend. And he went and he got the friend that was crippled. And he brought him to that place where Jesus was teaching. But he couldn't get him in the house because it was full. So he climbed up on the roof and he came through the roof. You know why? Because he believed something enough to do whatever it took to make it happen. If I can just get my friend to Jesus, his life will change. He believed so much in the promises of God that he wanted someone else to believe in those promises as well. And he relayed it to people around him. That's why it's so important as parents to put the principles and practices of God's word in your life, because you've got young children that are walking in your footsteps that need to know, my dad, my mom trusted in God. I know I can too. Because life is going to be hard for them at some point too. And if you walked in those promises, they'll walk in those promises. Read God's word promises, rely on God's promises, relay God's promises, and you do those things, you watch your faith grow. You'll see that you have faith that moves mountains. Let me ask you a very simple question this morning. Do you need to act on your faith? If you're here today, and like this man, you're battling between unbelief and belief. Maybe you're here today and you've got a relationship in God that says, I believe in God. Let's go a little deeper. What difference is God making in your life? It's one thing to have a mental assent to God's reality, and it's a totally different thing to have Christ living in your heart and have a relationship with Him. You know, the old saying is, if you showed me a picture of Barack Obama, yeah, I can say, I know what he looks like. But I don't know him. A lot of people are that way with God. Yeah, I know what the Bible says about God, but I don't know him. Do you know Jesus this morning? Have you trusted him as your Lord and Savior? If not, would you put your faith in him today? Would you commit your life to him, to follow after him, to learn from him, to grow in wisdom and knowledge of him, to live for him? That's the key. If you're here today and you're a Christian and you've done that, My question to you, are you walking in faith? When God gives you a promise, when God gives you a command, are you willing to do it no matter what it is? Are you willing to love others? Others that aren't like you? Are you willing to forgive those people that have hurt you? Are you willing to share your faith? Are you willing to do those things that are a little bit uncomfortable for you? Because you know it's right. Because God promises that it's right. Rest in those promises. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us all that you've given us so that we have the opportunity to know you, to walk in faith. Lord, sometimes the world around us gets hard. I know even in our community there's lots of fear, lots of anxiety. Lord, I pray that we might live and believe and put our trust fully, completely on you. Thank you that you're a God who hears, who cares, who desires to work in our heart and lives. Lord, we just pray for an openness to that. It's in the name of Jesus we ask.